a growing health, wellness, and leadership podcast designed for you to become your most empowered self.
Great day, amazing humans. Welcome to the Empowered in My Skin podcast, where our mission is to help 1 billion people in this world think in more empowering ways. Empowered humans empower humans, so you are the right spot to become a lead domino for empowerment today. So let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans. And yes, welcome back to the next Empowering Bites episode, where I am joined by Madame Mamone, Gabby Mamone. Hey.
Hey, how you doing, girl?
How you doing, girl?
Today's gonna be great. I know we just came off of a high and two big events, and
that's right. You had a TEDx. You gave your second TEDx speech, so we'll keep that one for another Empowering Bites so that you can share. And I hosted an incredible event about God, called Godfidence, and it was all around God's economy and world class careers that are and businesses that are built on faith, and just how God is at the center of it all, and He gets the glory in all that we do. It was fantastic. So I look forward to sharing both of those on a future episode.
Amazing. Okay,
but today we're gonna go back. If you recall, so our last Empowering Bites, we did the Rapid Thrivers and guest game. And there was one question specifically that just, I laughed at when I was watching it back, where I asked you, if you could talk to 1,000 people, would you rather speak to 1,000 people or have one hard conversation you've been avoiding? And you're like, speak to 1,000 people. So
instantly.
Yeah. So do you remember?
Oh, I remember. Okay. Yeah.
So for the listeners, actually, let's just rewind. Let's just listen to what happened.
Okay.
Yes.
So Gabby, would you rather speak to 1,000 people or have one hard conversation you've been avoiding?
Speak to 1,000 people.
So you're just accumulating the hard conversations.
No, because it doesn't mean that the 1,000 conversations are hard conversations. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, I said, or one hard conversation you've been avoiding.
Okay, because it's rapid fire, I answered quickly.
Okay, that's right.
There's
right.
An I'm answer
not,
to
I,
it.
Let me not judge
there's
your
an
head.
Answer to it, but I'm not going to expand.
Yeah, right. Okay, let me not. Right.
Okay, so today we're going to just do that deep dive that you talked about, because I was actually really shocked. I was like, that's what I was like. But you're just going to accumulate like a holy buzz, like unk. And so I actually start to do some research, and it's really a thing. And so it's like so many people avoid the one versus facing the crowd, right? And so there's a couple of the key things, right? Like there's the illusion. Let's start with like the illusion of having safety in numbers. So how about now that you have some time to elaborate, why was that your response?
Okay. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to clarify, because when you do rapid fire questions, you answer quickly. And
you're right. You did. You knew the assignment. You did the assignment. Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. But so now you had time. So if you had time, if it was my question, so Gabby, let me ask the question properly. So Gabby, I'm just really curious. Would you rather speak to 1,000 people or have one hard conversation you've been avoiding?
Okay. And my response was, and still is, speaking to 1,000 people. And I'll share why.
Okay.
And I want to preamble this by saying, however you, the listener, would respond, I don't think there's any right or wrong.
No, there's
answer.
No right or wrong. Right.
Yeah. I'm just justifying based on my strength and my interpretation of the question, because I didn't hear speak to 1,000 people
or have one heart.
with parameters. It was just speak to 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. And when I lean on my strength, I'm a speaker. So I'm serving
from
my strength. Okay.
Right.
Because when I'm on a stage, I get to shape my message. I can lead with my heart, my purpose. Mm-hmm. I have clarity. Mm-hmm. So everything on the topic that I'm speaking about is personal. right? And so I can have emotional distance, I can connect, I can guide the room. And when I have 1,000 people that I can work with, I'm impacting, I'm doing what I do best so that I can impact others. That is very satisfying for me. So that's why I answered that way, like without hesitation, because I care deeply, right? I care deeply about kindness and impact and just really making people feel valued, heard. And I do that through speaking. Okay. Now, it's not to diminish the importance of a one-on-one, very important conversation, right? That conversation, though, it's very different because a hard conversation doesn't have a stage and there is no script and there are no guarantees and there is no income. Again, not income, outcome. So there's no structure like a speech would have. Again, not a bad thing. It was just a question of what would you prefer? Let's ask the audience, as you're thinking about this, what would you prefer? I'd rather have an applause than rather to say something that might not land well. Let's be honest, right? So that is the context behind it. Again, it's not to diminish. Hard conversations have to happen. No, I believe in them. I do them.
There is actually no right or wrong. It comes down to preference, right? And so it's interesting because I think the first thing I thought about is like, And again, this is just my vantage point, right? When there's a lingering conversation that I know, because I think for me immediately, I thought like hard conversations are typically hard with people that were, I'm going to say closer to, at least for me, like I feel like I can have tough conversations with people who are not necessarily in my inner circle much easier than hard conversations with people that are in my inner circle. And it's funny, some of the research, some of the things I looked at really talked about, like, I'm just trying to find it here, like, because it actually means that you're probably going to get some immediate feedback. You're going to get some, you might be get some rejection. There might be some emotions that come up anyway. And so in my head, when I thought about that and why I said, what, you're just going to leave a wake of like, uncomfortable, because I was also thinking like in my most authentic self, it is the self where there isn't things I've been avoiding. Right. And so that's where my thought process was. And so for me to go out there and be on stage and from the place of service that I, you know, like my lane of empowerment and all this, any other, I know who I know, like the Nkechi that tends to not attract speaking gigs is because something is typically going on in my life. And so my spirit is not attracting and receiving, right? And so that's what I thought, that like, no, I would want to have, like, release myself from any kind of conversation that that I should be having, that I'm not having, to release my spirit so that when I do go out and serve, I'm serving from a place where I am free and light, and knowing that what I'm sharing out there to the world, I'm actually living out myself. Because a lot of what I speak about would be about, like, you have to, like, before there's confidence, there's courage, right? And like, and it's the courage to know what you're feeling and being able to be of clarity and speak and ask and seek the whatever, like, seek to understand and seek the truth, right? And resolve conflict. So that's where I'm coming from. But as I, like, I'll share some of the stuff here. So they talked about, one of the things I found out was like the illusion of safety in numbers. So, you know, it's exploring, I think that's what we're doing now, exploring why standing on a stage in front of 1,000 people could actually feel safer than a one-on-one conflict. And what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's the difference between being purposeful and being personal. So when you're speaking to 1,000 people, it's purposeful, right? But a hard conversation can feel personal, and you know, you don't want to disappoint, but you could disappoint. You could hurt their feelings. You could change your relationship ultimately, right?
Because you're completely exposed.
And it's not to say you shouldn't or I don't. It's just I would prefer those people.
But you know what comes to me, Gabby? And you would know this. I mean, it's it. There's studies out there that say after death, public speaking is the thing that
Yes.
people fear the most. So I kind of
Yeah.
wonder if we were to do like a survey of 1,000 people, what would come back? Like,
You
would
know, it's
most people?
interesting. Yeah. I mean, in our circle, we know a lot of speakers, and so
That's
we would
right.
have to be very unbiased about who we ask, right?
But because I'm thinking somebody who's not used to speaking in front of 1,000 people
Yeah.
might say, you know what, they would challenge themselves to have the hard conversation.
Yeah, and again, it's fine. I know you in your role at work. You need to have hard conversations. You don't want to hurt people's feelings, but you very well could, right? But I know that your goal is to make a big impact, and
But
you know, you could look at the
let's get
audience
rid
as
of
being one person.
right and let's get rid of the let's get rid of the thousands, right? Like, many of us are working in work environments where, you know, there is such a
Yeah.
thing as like a one-on-one performance review versus you have to talk to your
Yeah.
entire you have to talk to your entire team. And so one of the things that they
Yeah.
talk about here is like the bigger the number, you know, there's a like let's just say there's the like there's a microphone, right? Like, you there's a microphone,
Yeah.
there's a barrier control, you have control over the
Yeah.
narrative.
Yeah.
And it's a structured script, right? Like,
Yeah.
what you're having to share may not in need feedback coming back to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that I think it, so that I think what I hear from there is like there's a little bit more control. And as human
Yes.
beings, we know how we seek control.
Of course, it's comfortable. Everybody likes comfort. Right? And sometimes when you have these conversations, we all know you might say something, we might say something that might not land well, and there's repercussions of that, right? And so, again, just a preference. We all do it. We have to do it. We should do it. You know, I'm a big believer in using your voice. So if something has to be said, say it.
It's
You know, I have a motto, and the motto is it's clear to be kind, and it's kind to be clear.
Yes,
So
I
we
love
need to
that.
have, thank
I
you
love
so
that.
much. We need to have those conversations. And, you know, if we use that initial analogy, we can look at the audience as being one person. And the audience can be in a stage of a thousand people or in a boardroom or a one-on-one meeting, whatever that looks like. But with the purpose and the aim of always leaving them in a better position than
That's
they were
right. That's right. I love that vantage point. I think that's important. The other thing I've learned, and even from my like my personal business coach and even interviewing Fontini Ikonopoulos,
Okay.
she said it too. She's just such a master communicator. And I think like there's a lot of power in visualizing how you want that conversation, the outcome that you want to achieve,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So if you're going into a hard conversation and you're going in to say that coming out of this, we will have a better understanding of each other, even if we don't meet. Like, the goal is not to win. The goal is to
Right.
like to ensure that maybe we both understand each other's point of view. And
Yep.
that could just, and sometimes I think even the goal is not to necessarily get to an end result today, but it's at least to
Right.
start the conversation, right? Like, sometimes I
Right.
think we, and so all of that to say, like, it's about taking the time to envision how good this conversation can be. And if you were to go in without a who like without somebody having needing to win, but somewhere where everyone felt seen and heard. And to your point, I'm going to call it love, right? Like, when you go in
Yeah.
with the intent to leave someone in the position of increase, it's love,
Yep.
right? It's because you
Yep.
want them to continue to flourish. Like, we would probably have a lot better results.
I would absolutely agree, and I think that before you enter any stage, any conversation, there needs to be an intention that's set, right? What is the outcome that I'm hoping for? What do you want to understand? What do you want? Do you want an apology? Do you want a boundary? Do you want a decision? Do you want closure? Like, what is that? What do you want? And I think that if you go in with intention, you go in with truth, and you can figure out what's the kindest way to say it. And it doesn't mean that it needs to be an uncomfortable situation. You may just need to listen. Maybe it's just maybe it's just a conversation where you need to learn. So there's a lot of grounding in it. Again, you know, going back to the beginning, I just preferred a bigger
stage. Yes, yes, yeah. No, I get it.
But not to say that we should never have these hard conversations. We do.
Right. And I also know you. If you have to have a conversation, you're going to have that conversation. Something Absolutely. You just said that's interesting. I don't know that I don't know personally for me, like from where I know I've gone into conversations wanting the outcome to be an apology. Where I am now at, you know, 53 years old of life and going through a really tough season is like, I will never ask that of anybody anymore.
Okay.
Right. Because you can't make somebody do what they don't want to do. People do what they want to do. And I think that I'm learning that it's incumbent on me to share what I feel, have no expectation of the other person other than to ask them, can you please at least try and understand me? That's it. Whether they apologize or not apologize, I have to be okay that in some circumstances, I may never get an apology.
Mm.
Right?
So I kind of see it a little bit differently.
Yeah, go. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
And you are right. Being understood is important, and that's your goal in that. And you don't necessarily need an apology, mm-hmm. even though maybe you know you should receive one. Mm-hmm. I feel I kind of see it a little bit differently. I'm not going to have mm-hmm. resentment if they don't apologize, and I feel like I need an apology. Mm-hmm. But I will say that if I feel an apology is necessary, I think I will say it.
You know that's fair, but you may never get it. Yeah. And so
fair enough. So, funny, so we're right? in agreement.
Yeah, you can say that I believe I'm owed an apology, but they may never get it. And I think that that's what happens to a lot of people. They feel the person's, the danger comes down to if you feel you're owed an apology, you don't get it. And the buck stops there for you, right? But I love, I'm going to bring in like Mel Robbins, like people or Oprah, people will show you who they are. Believe them the first time. Right. And so you have to, it is up to you. Let them not apologize. And then let me decide, am I going to hold a grudge? Am I going to move on from this? Am I going to then you are in the power seat to decide what you're going to do as it relates to that relationship with that individual or that circumstance or situation. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We're in agreement there. I'm a big proponent of kind leadership, intentional kind leadership. Yes. And so I do believe that, you know, the conversations that maybe we might be avoiding can actually create the most clarity. It can create the most healing.
Right.
It can create the most growth.
That's
and it's not the opposite of kindness. In fact, it aligns with kindness.
That's right. And so
I do strongly believe the conversations have to happen. And, you know, if I look deep and if I'm humble, have I ever held back in having difficult conversations?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, I can think of Girl. One that was lingering.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the anxiety of not dealing with it was probably worse than the situation itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course.
So,
because it lingered in your brain until you release it.
Yeah. So it lingered too long, this situation that had happened in the winter last year. And I let it linger for about 6 weeks. And that's not okay. But I finally addressed it. And, you know, we were able to work it out, but it was one of these things that it was like, okay, we have to have these conversations, like you said, to be able to release and have clarity and move on.
Because it's more for you and your inner and your nervous system, right? Like there was, so there was something here that came up. It's called the accumulation trap, right? Like, so like all jokes aside, I know it was like what you leave awake, but it was really about what happens when we choose the crowd over the individual repeatedly. Right. And it says here that we end up accumulating a mountain of unsaid things. And so there's a weight, right, of carrying that avoided conversation around with you in your daily life, which is what you're talking about. And then it starts to infect other areas of your life. Right. Yeah. So, so it's important to release and to step into courage and have those conversations. But I think like after my interview with Fotini, there's so much value and merit in envisioning like a great outcome, what that can look like for the greatest good of all. And then writing down like writing down where the con like what the conversation should be about. Yeah. I also realized that, you know, try not to bring too much into the conversation. Definitely don't come in with expectations. And if there's a point you need to be to that you need to make, stay on the point that you need to make and don't sort of derail like from that. Yeah.
I love that. So, you know, if you're listening, is there a conversation that you've been avoiding? Is there someone that you can approach? Is there a conversation that maybe you need to schedule or call someone about?
Right. And you're replacing it by being busy.
Yeah, exactly.
I love
that. And it's easy to say and wear that badge of honor that we're busy or I haven't gotten a chance. Right. But the reality is it's not going to get solved until we address it.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you, Gabby. I appreciate this conversation. I appreciate the opportunity to deep dive.
Yeah, that was good. Thank you for allowing me to explain.
Yes, it was good. It was good. I've been holding on that since back. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
That was good. That
so
was
to good. Everyone, this is actually where we say, I'm Ink and
I'm Gabby with 1B.
And we're out. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. I trust that you're feeling more empowered in your skin. And as the late Dr. Maya Angelou says, when you get, you give, when you learn, you teach. So it would mean so much for us at EIMS if you share this episode and tag us or teach an insight that you learned from today's episode on your socials and tag us. And remember to go over onto iTunes and leave us a review or follow us on socials at Empowered in My Skin. But most importantly, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.